in front of a mirror in the afternoon before I do this. But if I massacre your name, believe me, please, correct me. Just shout out the correct one. And if I'm totally confused, I'll ask you how it goes. So I'm going to ask you to stand, please, when I read your name and to remain standing. And if everyone could hold their applause until we have read all the names. And God has indeed blessed this village today with many of his brothers and sisters. And here we go. From Juneau, Alaska, Sarah Brooks, Maggie Lawson. From La Jolla, California, Scott La Jolla. I grew up in Philadelphia. La Jolla. Scott Bierke and Karen, how do you say your last name, Karen? Castedo? Castedo. Larry Brischke. And one more time? Brischke. With Nancy and also Tim Suumnicht? Okay, good. From Auburn, California. Oh, good. Brian Johnson, praise be. Thank the Lord and bless her holy name. Joy Johnson, Lindsay Johnson, and Joshua Johnson from Auburn, California. Beate Martinez from Auburn, California, correct? Hilma Viltati, is that right? One more time? Valtati. With Toivo, Krista, and Heidi from Auburn. Michael Brown from Washington, D.C. Sharon Stubbe from Clearwater, Florida. Janice and Don Minford from Coeur d'Alene. Gretchen, Brian, Joya, Ellie, and Holden Felton from Golden Valley, Minnesota. Brad and Martha Trumbull from Plymouth, Minnesota. James, Cindy, and Nathan Bendixson from Missoula, Montana. Donald Back, is that correct, Back? Bach. With Gail. And Christy from Portland, Oregon. Sally and Mark Bierke from Hillsboro, Oregon. Joanne Deasley with Michael, Bernie, and Annika from Portland, Oregon. Also from Portland, Kathy and Matt Hickman with Casey, Indy, and is it Ketty? Ketty. And Mark Vignolo, correct? One more time? Vignolo. From Beaverton, Oregon, with Susan, Emily, and Matthew. And Alicia Erickson from Austin, Texas. Anita Knight from Austin. Debbie and Kate Wilson from Austin. Bernard Bruner and Beverly from Everett, Washington. Arlene, Edward, Brent, Marin, Maya, and Espen Diamond from Everett, Washington. Ken Mock with Beth, Stephanie, and Robert from Marysville, Washington. Sharon and Ted Olson from Spokane, Washington. Mary McDonald and Deborah Ryan from Spokane. Weldon Sorgan and Lorraine Sorgan from Everett, Washington. And the folks in Chalet 2, James Dyer, Paul Georgeson, Nathaniel Hall Deal, Eric Caldestead, Grace Rowan, Bailey Turner, Reese Turner, Kirsten Erickson, Patrick Hilmo, Colin Johnson, Teddy LaChapelle, April Lotshaw, Christoph Schmidt, Anders Weiberg, and joining our long-term staff, Scott McLaughlin, Andrea Benson, and their children, Sophia and Isabel. Who have I forgotten? Okay, welcome to you all. And now I'm going to ask those brothers and sisters who are leaving Holden Village tomorrow to please stand. No one leaves Holden without a blessing and a prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, you called for light and there was light. You called for land and sea and there was land and sea. and you called us your children, and it was so. We thank you in Jesus' name for that and for these, your children. Guide their way as they journey home. Thank you for the blessings they've brought to this community. Amen.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Our preacher this evening is Professor Nelly Van Doren Harder. She teaches Islam and world religions at Valparaiso University, Valparaiso, Indiana, and is a member of the Oslo Coalition for Freedom of Religion and Belief. We welcome her to our pulpit this evening. For our worship, you will need a half sheet with the Eucharistic prayer, as well as a copy of a Gather hymnal and a With One Voice hymnal. They're back by the door. I hope that you've got a copy of all three of those things. Our gathering hymn this evening is number 771 in With One Voice. 771, Great is Thy Faithfulness. In the first line of the text, if you wish, you may substitute the word Creator or My Mother for the text that is printed. 771. Let's stand if you are able. May be seated. Welcome, friend and stranger, saint and sinner, all who gather here. Come with hope or hesitation, come with joy or yearning, all who hunger, all who thirst for life in all of its fullness.
Generous God and generous Savior, touch us through your Spirit.
We sing our hymn of praise and with one voice, number 791. 791, Alabare.
Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. John saw the number, all the need, and all were singing praises to the Lord. Thousands were praying, 10,000 rejoicing, and all were singing praises to the Lord. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood has set us free from every sin. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and all blessing shall be his. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Sing with the people of God, and join creation in a joyful hymn. Blessing and honor and glory and might to God and to the Lamb be without end. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor.
God be with you.
Also with you.
Companion in life and death, your love is steadfast and never ends. Our weeping may linger with night, but you give joy in the morning. Touch us with your healing grace that, restored to wholeness, we may live out our calling as your resurrection people.
Amen. We listen to our lessons.
A reading from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The mercies of God never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, in the Lord I will hope. The Lord is good to those who are patient, to the soul that seeks after God. It is good that a warrior should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a warrior to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it. To put his mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope. To give his cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although causing grief, the Lord will have compassion out of an abundance of steadfast love. For the Lord does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Holy wisdom, holy word.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finishing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, and in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel. We will sing as our Alleluia verse, number 613, 613 in With One Voice, the Celtic Alleluia, and we will sing it both before and after the reading of the gospel.
Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear. Only believe." Jesus allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. Jesus strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
In a good Holden Village fashion, I wrote my sermon on the back of another sermon. And there I found, written earlier by Paul Olson, Roger Bannister breaking the 4.00 barrier in the mile. No one thought it could be done. He imagined it, he believed it, he did it. Being from the Netherlands, I have no clue what he's talking about. However, I do understand one thing. Although he's speaking about something very different that I will speak about tonight, the theme is the same. It is about when we people, we individuals, start to act, start to imagine, start to believe, we can convert the impossible, we can convert hope into reality. And doing that often seems impossible. Creating hope from reality even seems impossible. This past week, we have been speaking a lot with John Mardy, the Minnesota senator, and we've, of course, discussed endlessly the war. And I don't have to tell you which war I mean. And even last night, the Bible quoted passages about war and rumors of war. And we have all wondered all week, what have we gotten ourselves into? How will it all end? And how will we get out of here? Basically, we feel powerless. We feel members of an audience watching a play, a historic play, and there seems no role for us in that history. I was born and raised in the Netherlands, and I was surrounded with stories from the Second World War. My parents, grandparents, everybody had suffered. And although the war officially ended for us on May 5th, 1945, it somehow never stopped entering our lives. Everybody grieved for lost ones, for loved ones, for lost opportunities, lost education, lost childhood, lost youth. Everybody grew old early who had been living in the war. Parts of their bodies started to ache prematurely. And they wore out due to malnutrition and deprivation. And while life went on, of course, the Marshall Plan helped us a lot and we became more prosperous. And lo and behold, by the 60s, magic boxes from the US called TV and fridge entered the houses. This pain, this grief remained. But the greatest struggle was against the bitterness, the hatred, the anger, the idea that you still would like to take vengeance on the Nazis, on the Japanese who had done this all to you. Our parents felt like post-war warriors, very much what described is described in today's Lessons of Lamentations, where it says, sitting alone with their mouths put to the dust, giving their cheeks to the smiters, feeling filled with insults. And nobody protected them from this dreadful experience. For example, history seems to repeat itself. Our Dutch government, just before the Second World War and during the Second World War, was led by a multimillionaire prime minister called Colijn. And instead of putting defenses in place, instead of preparing the population, he started to write some kind of statement saying that the Netherlands should become part of a greater Germany. And later on, one of our vice presidents then wrote that he had heard this Mr. Colijn speak one day and had thought, how could someone with such stupid ideas, yes, really stupid ideas, be in such an important position? But it were in the end. It were in the end, people like you and me, small people, who fought the battle, who hid Anne Frank, who protected Anne Frank till she was transported to the concentration camp, who organized the opposition, and in the end, won. But let us return for one moment to Lamentations, the passage we just read. These words really could beat the lifeblood out of us. But that is not God's intention. If we look carefully, we find that these depressing words of smiting and eating dust and insults are written inside messages of great hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. for the Lord will not reject forever. Even in the midst of the passage on smiters and insults, we find, between brackets, there may yet be hope. Hope, that powerful force that keeps us alive and makes us believe in what we cannot see. In the promise, I will be with you always. But our beliefs, our hopes, are not just something we receive. No, there is nothing passive about them. Hope makes us the actors in God's plan. We are the ones who highlight these words between brackets, there may yet be hope. In war and in peace, we convert that hope into actions. Just as the two main characters in today's Gospel of St. Mark did, they turned their hope into actions. Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, and the anonymous woman who was suffering bleeding for 12 years. Jairus is on top of Jewish society. He leads in worship. He explains the sacred words of the Torah. The woman is an outcast. The bleeding makes her unclean, impure, permanently. She cannot set foot into the synagogue. She is not even allowed to worship or even as much as to touch Jairus. The power of clean and unclean in the old Jewish religion comes out in folk stories from the tradition. For example, one of those stories tells us that a rabbi or a scholar of the Torah who can lose his knowledge if he takes a cup of tea from a menstruating woman. So the woman who touches Jesus' cloak cannot even touch what belongs to Jairus. Now these two figures have a part in the same gospel. Jairus, the venerable, the honorable, the synagogue leader, he falls at Jesus' feet and begs him for help. Normally, people fall at his feet. The woman touches Jesus' cloak, afraid to face this important rabbi. The two actors could not have come from more opposite sides of the spectrum. What binds them is that both believe, have hope, and act on it. And Jesus receives them both. He encourages the woman, your faith has made you well. And Jairus with, do not fear, only believe. Our hope, St. Paul points out in his letter to the Corinthians, the second reading, can only bear fruit if we act. And in the letter, he summons the community to finish doing what they desire to do, so that their eagerness may be matched by completing the work. Our hope can become a very powerful instrument of change and of peace if we take this advice of St. Paul seriously, if we finish what we desire to do. And this past Thursday, we had a glimpse of that in a very powerful forum right here in Holden Village, where people shared the stories about what happens if people act on their hope. Ingrid Christiansen told us about hope for condemned prisoners that was brought about by the actions of one man, the former governor of Illinois, Governor Ryan, who put a halt on the death sentence. Despair was changed into life and hope for these prisoners. Jody Kretzmann related how a neighborhood in Chicago changed the lives of people in a halfway house. The neighborhood decided not to look at the handicaps and the weaknesses of the people in that house, but instead to bring out their talents and their qualities. And Rick Brown had a very powerful story about how his talk right here in Holden Village opened doors for a successful mission of reconciliation in South Africa. So touching Jesus' cloak, begging him for help, finishing what your hope moves you to do, transforms, renews, and heals what is broken. Now living in a time like ours that seems filled with disturbances, we often feel that we hold on to hope against hope. But if we keep telling ourselves and each other the stories of how lives and communities, even nations, have been transformed by bold acts, we understand that we all can contribute, because St. Paul writes in the same letter, for if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has. It can be a lot, it can be a little, it doesn't matter. Stories of hope inspire us. They call us to follow in the example set by others who took God's promise seriously. The steadfast love of God never ceases. The mercies of God never come to an end. Many Europeans who spent part of the Second World War in prisons and in concentration camps, as one writer called it, on the edge of eternity, managed to live in hope against hope. They could not change the prison walls. They could not change the camp carts. They could not change the crappy food. But they could change themselves. They could renew their spirits daily. And in those dreadful times, we all have read the writings or heard of the writings of Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and others like him. In those dreadful times, ordinary men and women waged a battle against their natural human instincts to hate, to spite, to want vengeance, and they won. And while our memories are fading, it has now been over 60 years, these witnesses keep reminding us of what they learned, and that there is power in hope, and that one person can change at least him or herself. And one such powerful example came from people who remain nameless to us. It was a husband and wife from the Netherlands in a concentration camp in the Dutch Indies. It was Indonesia, and in those days it was the Dutch Indies, and the camp was led by the Japanese. And they managed to exchange letters to each other. The wife died. She succumbed to the deprivation. But in her farewell letter, she asks her husband to help the children get over their feelings of anger and hate. And she ends the letter with, "War thrives on hatred. Love is the basis of peace." From the stinking, hot camp, of which I've never heard anything positive, this woman lived the reality of Jesus' word, "Do not fear, only believe. Daughter, your faith has made you well." She believed that one day the anger, the pain, and the desire for vengeance could be overcome, could be transformed in something better, in something higher, something that would fit us humans better. Her advice was taken up later, much later, by her son, who is now regularly traveling to Japan, where he organizes meetings of reconciliation between Japanese soldiers and their Dutch victims, and both need reconciliation and healing. And many of those who lived through this war, including my parents, have passed away by now. They could not see this bold act. They could not witness it, but it happens in their memory. And so the reconciliation goes on for them and for us, for the past, for the present, and for the future. And especially for us who think there can be no hope. But when we take the first step, and when we try to overcome our feelings of anger, despair, and vengeance, then we live these words that I started with, that I stole from Paul Olson. He imagined, he believed, and he did it. And then we give hands and feet to the promise that we have in Holden Village this summer. I will be with you always.
Professor Van Doorn Harder selected the hymn which we will use as our hymn of the day, number 420 in Gather, "Do Not Fear to Hope," 420 in Gather. The hymn is new to me, and I saw it for the first time just the other day. It's a marvelous hymn, and I'm so happy to learn it myself. I hope that you enjoy learning it also. "Do Not Fear to Hope," Gather, 420.
Do not fear to hope, though the wicked rage and rise. Our God sees not as we see, success is not the prize. Do not fear to hope, for though the night be long, the race shall not be to the swift, the fight not to the strong. Look to God when you are sure your sin is greater than grace. Look to God whose love is gift. Believe and you can behold him face to face. Do not fear to hope, for the wicked rage and rise. Our God sees not as we see. Success is not the prize. Do not fear to hope, for though the night be long, the race shall not be to the swift, the fight not to the strong. Look to God when victory seems out of just his sight. Look to God whose mighty hand brought forth the day from the chaos of the night. Do not fear to hope, though the wicked rage and rise. Our God sees not as we see. Success is not the prize. Do not fear to hope, for though the night be long, the race shall not be to the swift, the fight not to the strong. Look to God when cynics say our planet's doom is sealed. Look to God by whose great power the dead were raised and the lepers were healed. Do not fear to hope, though the wicked rage and rise. Our God sees not as we see. Success is not the prize. Do not fear to hope, for though the night be long, the race shall not be to the swift, the fight not to the strong. Look to God when reason fails and terror in the night. Look upon the crucified and see beyond into Easter's dawning light. Do not fear to hope, for the wicked rage and rise. Our God sees not as we see. Success is not the prize. Do not fear to hope, for though the night be long, the race shall not be to the swift, the fight not to the strong.
With the co-people of God in Christ, let us pray for the church, this place of rest and renewal, those in need, and all God's creation. We praise you, Lord, that you have brought us here to Holden to experience the magnificence of your creation. We give thanks for rest and renewal through worship, study, walking in your wilderness, and enjoying community and hilarity. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Loving God of the universe, look at our world, heal and protect it from conflicts in families, in churches, in community, and between countries. Give us, your people, strength and courage to work for peace and justice. Gracious God, healing God of every ill, just as you brought healing to Jairus' daughter and the hemorrhaging woman, put your healing hand on those who are ill in body, mind, and spirit that we now name aloud or in our hearts. Gracious God, healing God of every ill, just as you, God of the nations, bless your servants who work throughout your world, telling the story, teaching and healing the sick. Give them health and resources that they need for important work. Tonight we ask a special blessing for Jean and Marvin at the Maasai Lutheran Girls Secondary School in Monduli, Tanzania, and Dr. Mark Jacobson at the Cilian Lutheran Hospital in Arusha, Tanzania. Gracious God, God who has brought us here to this holy ground and who is always with us, bless us now as we pray the Holden blessing together. O Lord God, who has called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths yet untrodden, through perils unknown, give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Please greet your neighbor with that reconciling welcome and peace. God's peace.
We are starting to receive our offering already, it looks like, so I should probably say just a note or two about that. This year's summer offerings are being divided between the Christian peacemaking teams, groups of Christians from a number of different denominations who go to places like Colombia, Palestine, Iraq, to work in whatever ways possible to bring peace and truth to bear. And a Hispanic social work ministry related to our annual Abriendo celebration. We invite you to be generous with your offering.
Some say that he's a prophet, others call him the light. Some say he is an ordinary man with an ordinary life. Some say they see him everywhere, others only when they try. Some say he'd vote Republican, others say this is a lie. Some say he came to wage war, others say he'd rather die. Some say he'd raise our taxes, others say that they're too high. But we agree, he loves everyone. Helps to make the world one in him. We are waiting for the day that the kingdom comes our way. Hey, that the kingdom comes our way. Some say he's with the Catholics, others say he's with the Jews. Conservative or liberal, which one would he choose? Which finer points of doctrine would he leave for us to? Some say he likes to win, others say he'd rather lose. Some say he'd be a joiner and always pay his dues. Some say he'd be a loner, spreading the good news. But we agree, he loves everyone, hopes to make the world. Some say he'd save the trees, others say he'd cut them down. Some say he wears a smile, others say he wears a frown. Some say he likes big cities, others swear he likes small towns. Some say he'd shop in pet stores, others swear he'd shop in pounds. Some say he'd buy a poodle, others swear he'd buy a hound. Some say he'd watch The Simpsons with no one else around. But we agree, he loves everyone, hopes to make the world one in him. We are waiting for the day that the King comes our way. Hey, the kingdom comes our way.
Come, O God, be our host. Bread and wine are waiting. On your words depend all our celebrating. Fill us with your love, healing, and forgiveness. Then, in living, show our love your way. Amen.
Just a word of explanation about the way we do communion here at Holden Village. We have both wine and grape juice available. Wine is available through common cup and through individual cups. If you'd like to have grape juice, please take one of the individual cups and move to the second pitcher. The second pitcher will contain grape juice. The first pitcher contains wine. Children will be communed here. It's part of our community. If you would like to receive a blessing rather than the elements, we ask you to come to the person handing out the bread, and you will receive a blessing from them if you keep your hands folded. We are a community gathered here by the new birth in Christ. As such a community, we wish no one to be left out from our celebration at Jesus' table. Jesus dies and is raised again for all people, for all nations, cultures, and classes. We wish to welcome all sisters and brothers together, regardless of race, economic status, gender, sexual orientation, political or economic viewpoints, education, ability, language. In Eucharist, we meet together at God's table, and Jesus is our host. The Eucharistic prayer is printed on your service sheet. I rise. This is the day that God has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Shout aloud, all God's children.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
For God's steadfast love endures forever.
It is right that we offer thanks and praise to God.
The Holy Spirit is moving among us, filling us with life and grace.
Holy and wonderful Spirit of God, creating unity and giving all people hope.
Let us join in the new life of Christ, gathering as one people around this table.
In doing so, we are joining the never-ending chorus of all creation,
which we will sing in your gather hymnal number 395, and I invite you to sing in whichever language you feel is most worshipful for you.
Santo, 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 santo es nuestro Dios. Señor de toda la tierra, santo, santo es nuestro Dios. Santo, 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 santo es nuestro Dios. Señor de toda la historia, santo, santo es nuestro Dios. Que acompaña a nuestro pueblo, que vive nuestras luchas, del universo entero. Santo, 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 santo es nuestro Dios, Señor de toda la tierra. Santo, santo es nuestro Dios, santo, 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 santo es nuestro Dios, Señor de toda la historia. Santo, santo es nuestro Dios.
We continue reading together. Maker of light and dark.
Day and night, creator of sun, moon, stars, and all planets, you fashion days and seasons and years, each with their own uniqueness, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. You live through the time and beyond time, through Jesus, the promised one, reconciled to yourself, your rule of all time and places, bringing all your children into a loving embrace.
On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and looking ahead to the day when the whole creation will fully realize your divine presence among us and within all, we eat this bread and drink this cup. Send us your Holy Spirit, that this meal might be what you have promised it to be, the body of Christ to unite your people, and the blood of Christ to renew your creation. Amen. Please use the form of Jesus' prayer which is closest to your heart. Let us pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but thine is the kingdom and our glory forever and ever. This is the body of Christ broken for the mending of all divisions.
This is Christ's table, and all are welcome. Here all divisions cease. Here in Christ's body we are made one. Come, everyone, for this is the banquet God intended for all God's saints.
Please be seated. Forward, who are assisting with distribution. I invite you to take whatever you brought up.
Our first communion hymn is in your gather hymnal, number 408. 408, Healing River. Send down your waters. Send down your waters upon this land. Oh, healing river. Send down. This land is parching. This land is burning. And no seed is growing in the barren ground. Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish.
Well, let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. Send down your waters. Send down your waters upon this land. Flow, heal, and river. Send down. Wash the blood from off the sand.
Our next communion hymn is number 738 in With One Voice. With One Voice, 738. Us all your vision, God of love. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow. Give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. All your way of healing, spirit of compassion, fill each heart. Our next communion hymn is in With One Voice, number 710. 710, One Bread, One Body. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body. Scattered and grown, gathered to all for all. One bread, one body. We are one body.
May the body and blood of Jesus the Christ strengthen you to be God's people in all that you say and do. Amen.
Generous God, you sent Jesus to be the bread of life. We give you thanks and praise for this sacrament of healing. Strengthen us and keep us that we may be healed and that we might in turn bring healing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. May God, who is present in sunrise and sunfall and in the crossing of the sea, guide your feet as you go. May God, who is with you when you sit and when you stand, encompass you with love and lead you by the hand. May God, who knows your path and the places where you rest, be with you in your waiting, be your good news for sharing, and lead you in the way that is everlasting. Amen. Our sending hymn is number 722. 722, and with one voice, Alleluia, we sing your praises.
And I'm going to invite you to sing it in four parts, and we'll go through each of them individually. Let's start with the basses. Alleluia, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Alleluia, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. All right, let's add the tenors on top of that. Basses, tenors. One, two. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. All right, let's add the altos. One, two. Hallelujah. We sing your praises, all our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises, all our hearts are filled with gladness. And sopranos on top of that. Hallelujah, we sing your praises, all our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Christ the Lord, who was said, I am mine, I am red.
Living God.
Thanks be to God.